Just kidding. We're back.
We got you good.
We got you so good. Got us too.
Welcome back. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
We had you good, I think. I think the prank is over. Basically, what you just witnessed, if you've been a longtime follower of us, is the longest a joke has ever been taken. Ever.
Ever.
I'm going to claim it if you want to dispute that, tweet at us.
Yeah.
We always said that if we guessed the same, or had the same question, rather, for our two-man trivia rounds, that we would just quit the podcast. And that was not planned, believe it or not, but it did work out to where Drew and I were smack dab in the middle of our busy season and allowed us to reset and start season three.
We just continued resetting and continued resetting. And then we got to a point where we're like, hey, we can record. And then I just forgot to reach out.
Yeah, I mean, it was about a... There were legitimate reasons for the bulk of it, I would argue. I mean, yeah. It was just, like, impossible for us to get together. Finished up the AMAW season. Transitioned into another job. Not away from one, but into another actual project, I should say, for my other job. But been super busy. Tori's here with us.
Woohoo!
That all worked out. Drew and Tori are kind of matching today. Yeah. I like it. I didn't get the memo.
That's right. And I don't know if you can see, but... Look at the length of this.
Yeah. This is probably... Oh, dang it. I missed a that's what she said. Retroactive, that's what she said. This is probably quite a bit longer than the last time.
Yeah. I think so. I walked in, I was like, oh, yeah.
I'm about to cut it off. There's a chance the next time they see... Or when they see this, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to get my hair cut and my beard trimmed soon.
See, I keep...
This much.
I keep thinking that I'm going to get a haircut, but my wife was... running her hands through, she was like, I don't know, I kind of like it. It's a change. And it's weird. Like, I never would have expected this, but I've been running a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the hot, like, this just gets drenched in sweat and cools off my neck.
Wow.
I thought it was going to make my neck so hot.
I'm delighted for you, but also a little disgusted.
Oh, yeah, it's gross. Yeah. I have to shower when I get back, period. But, yeah, so... Welcome to season three.
Yeah. Shall we do an intro for all time's sake?
Officially, yes.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're just going to wing it and get back into the feel of this podcast. There's a lot to talk about. Let's talk about it. So, I'm trying to think of everything we have missed in the last, like, two... Okay. Has it been 2 months?
I looked... I think our last episode was mid-March.
Okay. So a little over 2 months, like 10 weeks.
I don't remember if WandaVision was over at that time or... So, I mean, at least Falcon, Winter Soldier. We haven't talked about that.
Invincible.
Yeah. MODOK just dropped.
Yeah.
Haven't watched that.
No big films, right? There wasn't like a...
There's New Mutants.
New Mutants became available for streaming, that's right. True.
Is that worth watching?
I haven't watched it yet, believe it or not.
Oh, I thought you had.
I hadn't. It's on my list. I need to. I keep wanting to watch it, but Katie wants to watch it. But also, If it's nighttime and a film is moderately intense, she's like, well, I can't.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. When did the Snyder Cut come out?
I can't remember.
I think that the Snyder Cut has come out during our break.
Because that's right. We were going to meet.
Look that up.
To have a Snyderverse episode.
And right. We haven't discussed the Snyder Cut.
I watched all of them leading up to, and then watched the Snyder Cut, and then watched the rest of them. Because I still hadn't seen Aquaman or Birds of Prey.
Wow.
So I watched all those.
I guess those technically take place after.
Yeah. So I watched them after.
I just watched the Snyder films to prep for that.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe Wonder Woman, but I don't think so. I think just Man of Steel and BVS.
Because Wonder Woman actually happened after... Well, no, it was after... I don't remember when it was. Never mind. Forget I said anything.
I think it was after BVS, but before Justice League, maybe?
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah. I think I didn't watch it in preparation because I watched it in preparation to see Wonder Woman 84.
Right.
So, yeah. It was still pretty fresh.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's just jump into that one. We're going to hop all over the place, so bear with us. We'll get back to your regularly scheduled comic book goodness.
Yeah. Flashpoint, which theoretically, will happen. Hopefully, we don't fall into the same thing we did. Between season one and season two, we just completely dropped Powers of Ten and House of X.
We're for sure going to come back to that one.
Because it was just like such an intense thing. Like, I needed to work up to it.
Yeah.
And we just never got back to it. So Flashpoint, hopefully next episode or maybe two or three episodes from now, we're back into Flashpoint.
Yeah. I have thoughts on PHOX after we get into some what you've been reading, but we'll do that after some casual chit chat.
Cool. I'll just say that the Snyder cut was March 18th.
Okay. So it was after
3 days. I think the 15th was the last time we posted.
I think so.
Wow. So
thank you, Torrance.
This is old news to some of you, but we gotta talk about it. We're a comic book podcast. First, I'm gonna ask both of you: did you like the Snyder Cut more or less than the Justice League?
The fact that I don't remember anything from the original Justice League movie, you can weigh that in. I remember walking away from that movie going, okay.
Right.
I walked away from Snyder Cut going, I want to see more.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I thought that the Snyder Cut was better.
Yeah, I agree with both of you, and I think not only was it better, I think it wasn't even close.
Yeah, I mean, and I was told, and I got into discussion with somebody, and they were like, well, it was 4 hours long. And I was like, yeah, they did. They took their, they weren't as select, didn't have to be as selective because they had more time, but right. I was there for it.
Right.
Like, I would have watched 6 hours of it.
Yeah, they did some unique things, too. Like, I was maybe hyper-analyzing just things in the scenes. Like, okay, they spent, I think maybe this number is wrong, but I'm pretty sure they spent like $80 million in reshoots and re-edits. Like, there are full movies that don't have a budget that big, and this movie had been made already. And HBO was just like, have all the money. But there were just some scenes that were just completely void in the first take that completely changed the context of the entire story. And then there were other scenes that were not even necessary for the story to keep going, but they added like just an ambiance to the entire film, or like at least the scene that they were in. Like for instance, the one that always comes back to me that I think like this was a choice to leave all of this in was the trio of girls singing after Aquaman left when Batman was recruiting him at that small seaside village. Mm-hmm. They just sing this entire song in like this beautiful harmonies, and is very Snyder-esque. Like, it felt like a Snyder film there. Like, he, I think, is also like known for having moments where he just like plays the bulk of a song like throughout an entire scene. But for this one, like, not only was it this extended musical piece, but it was the focus of the scene. It was like sorrowful and just dramatic. I don't know. It was just things like that. There were just extended moments of just let this keep playing. And it added a lot to the film, I think. Like, it was, I don't know. Maybe I wanted it to be awesome, so I thought it was awesome. But it was great. I'm all for them doing a Snyderverse in the DC stuff. Like, if everything was like that, I think DC would eventually, as long as they didn't rush things, be on par with the MCU, maybe. Oh, that, speaking of, that made me think of all the announcements we've had MCU-wise since then. There's no way we're going to cover everything, but we'll talk about what we can. What were any other thoughts on the Snyder Cut?
I was going to ask both of you, in the comics, are Bugs with Guns the what they do in the comics?
Yeah, I mean, the if you were to go back, I feel like that's how the Justice League New 52 series started again, with practically that storyline.
Okay.
Darkseid. I don't remember if Steppenwolf was there, but Darkseid mm-hmm. and his little minions that...
Were they called parademons? Or
I think that sounds right. I don't remember if that's what they were called in there. Making, you know, with the mother boxes and whatnot.
Right.
And there's actually a movie, the animated version of the Justice League starts very similar, like with those same weird little flying monkey things.
Yeah. That was my only complaint about it, is I just thought that I didn't like the way those looked.
It was, yeah, like I remember whenever I saw them the first time, either in a comic book or in a cartoon, I was just like, and there's at that point, there was like no explanation. It was just like, all right, here's these minions, and you just accept them at face value that they're part of
an right.
ecosystem that you don't know about. And I guess I had already saw them, and I was like, oh, hey, I recognize those guys. Mm. But yeah, I'm sure that there's more to it, and I just haven't done a deep dive.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the changes they made that made it so much better. I mean, aside from just having more content, they like took time to explain things.
Yeah.
You know, they explained the mother boxes way more efficiently, and they also made me like Aquaman more, specifically not the character, but the portrayal yeah. by Jason
they
Momoa.
They took out some of the bro.
All the rock and roll, yeah, brother.
Mm-hmm.
It was just better.
Yeah.
I liked all of it. They did a couple weird changes. I'm pretty sure I'm not wrong about this, but I will say there's a chance, but I don't think I am. Have you seen Wonder Woman or Aquaman recently?
Yeah, and you're going to talk about Mara?
Yeah.
Her accent?
The accent.
You are right.
They changed it, right?
She has an accent in Aquaman. She does not in the Snyder Cut. She sounds American, essentially, for lack of a better term.
In Aquaman?
In whichever one it was. There's.
I thought it was... She sounded like British in the yeah. Snyder Cut, I thought.
Okay, then...
And normal in... I shouldn't say normal. She sounded American.
I can't remember which was which, but right. yes. There was one where there's obviously a British accent, and there's one where there's obviously an American accent.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was just like...
Well, weird choice. And all maybe... Right. I know Zack Snyder claims he's never seen the Joss Whedon cut of Justice League. Okay. Like, never watched it. Which doesn't matter, because she doesn't really... I think she has a little dialogue in there, but maybe he's also never seen Aquaman.
Maybe.
And you're just like, that my character...
Technically, this was before Aquaman.
Right.
So,
I don't know. I've also heard some weird arguments, too, about how this fits in the canon of everything. Like, some executives for HBO basically said, like, this is, like, a spinoff, self-contained thing.
Elseworlds.
Right.
If you wanted to use DC parlance.
I don't know if... I buy that, or if the majority yeah. of the fans will.
Because I thought you told me, like, yeah. Warner Brothers, whatever, whoever, like, the organization that owns DC
mm-hmm.
and the movies, I thought you said that the Justice League verse is what they consider to be canon.
Which right.
is too bad.
Yeah, I believe that if we live in a world where a Twitter campaign essentially brought the Snyder Cut to life. Yeah. We also live in a world where we can decide what's canon.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, if there was enough of a want to bring it to the forefront, you would seem that because it was such a success, and it seems the consensus is that they like it more, the majority of people, I would think. It scored better on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics, I think, liked it more, that it was just, why don't we just scoot? I don't know.
I remember whenever I started getting into the comic book side of Twitter, and there were a whole lot of people who were just like on the Batfleck bandwagon. And I was right. just like, I didn't get to see much of Ben Affleck as Batman. I mean, mm-hmm. sure, we had a couple movies that he was in there, but this, I felt like, and maybe it's because I just didn't remember the original Justice right. League very much, but when I walked away from this, I was like, dude, I want to see more Batfleck,
yeah.
period. He's got some chops.
Yeah. And I think there's a chance that we will. I don't know. Because the Snyder Cut exists, we should never say never.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because. What else came out during then? You have not watched Invincible. Is that correct? Or you no, have?
Not yet. I need to, but I keep working my way through all these Netflix shows that I didn't finish beforehand instead.
Invincible is a pretty quick watch. I mean, it was for me. Like it.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily short episodes. They're about
40 to 50
minutes each. So they're not full hour, which I guess made a difference. But Tori was trying to get me to watch this for a while, and I wanted to. I just kind of kept putting it off, and then I finally just watched episode one, and then I couldn't stop. I was like, oh, okay. And Tori said that that's what would happen. I was like... It was really, 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 really good storytelling. The animation was not my favorite flavor of animation. It felt a little Archer to me in some moments. It's not full-on Archer, but it just had like a, I don't know, a stiffness to it. And when I watched it for the most part, that I was just not...
It felt like it was trying to be like the 90s cartoon, like superhero cartoon.
Yeah.
Or maybe the early aughts, like Batman and Static Shock, maybe.
Right. I don't know. There's something about it that I can't even put my finger on it, but I kept thinking about the style of it, and it kept taking me out of the episode a little bit. So it was enough to, like, I kept thinking, what about this is bothering me? That was enough to...
I've been watching the second season of Cloak and Dagger, and the last two episodes, I feel like they use you know cinematic stuff. Whenever you're using the camera that's supposed to kind of feel like you're there and it's kind of moving around,
yeah, they do a lot of handheld.
Yeah, there's just so much of that. That's like, I feel like I'm having a hard time holding my feet as I'm watching it, and that's taken me out of the second season of Cloak and Dagger a few times. I really enjoy Cloak and Dagger. It's a Marvel property. But yeah, there's some times where it's just like, it's like this is happening if you're watching the video.
Yeah.
If you're not watching the video, just like pretend like you're drunk and you're just trying to keep your feet while focusing on something. Like
that can be too much. Like if people do that, like, I get it, but if it's like too much of a thing, it can take you out, have the adverse effect. I just thought of this. Sarah's probably listening right now. Sarah, you won't like Invincible. Don't watch it. Not her speed. What else? You need to watch Invincible, though. It's really good. J.K. Simmons does one of the lead voice Omni-Man. Acting. Omni-Man, yeah, is his name.
Have you guys watched that Jupiter thing?
No, Jupiter Ascending, right?
No,
just Jupiter.
Legacy.
Jupiter Legacy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I started to watch it, and I was just like, there's the outlandishness of the costumes in the trailer. Like, it just makes me like, and at first I was like, this just looks weird. But then I'm like, how is that any weirder than Superman? Or Batman.
Right.
Honestly, it's just that I know them. So I know eventually I'll watch it. I just haven't watched it yet.
I've heard meh reviews.
I started to watch it. I guess that is an indicator. I couldn't finish it.
Okay.
I'm going to finish it eventually, but it wasn't something that I had to watch all the way through immediately.
Yeah, I think I'll probably give it a go. Maybe. Sometimes if I hear meh reviews first, It helps.
My brother did that for one of the... It might have been Last Jedi. Because he was like, just no, it's not...
Right.
It may not be what you're expecting. So my bar was really low when I went in. So I understand that.
That also happened for you watching Aquaman, because I was crapping on it.
And I enjoyed it.
For
like,
a year.
after I watched it, I was just like, I enjoyed the story, the world-building aspect of it and everything. And yeah, my bar was really low.
Right.
So
you're welcome.
Yeah,
thank you. Just gonna start talking crap about every film, just to hope that it.
There was something on the tip of my tongue. Do we want to talk a little bit about Falcon Winter Soldier?
Yes. Okay. First, did you like? If you had to pick WandaVision or Falcon Winter Soldier, which one would you pick?
WandaVision.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was. It might have come from the fact that it was just. I was on board with the aesthetic the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I see what's happening. I enjoy this. I like the chemistry between, you know, Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing all of that. Now, I did enjoy Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. It's almost not fair for me to ask that question. They're very different.
It was just a lot more gritty. Mm-hmm. And there were moments in Falcon and Winter Soldier that made me feel things that weren't even on, like,
were in a radar.
They were like, I'll say, like, WandaVision didn't make me feel anything even remotely close to some of the emotional things that I had. So, I mean, I really liked it. It did make me kind of question. As soon as we saw a U.S. agent pop in, and I started wondering if we were going to get a Secret Empire type of storyline with him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
let's talk about him. He did a great job.
Yeah.
Such a good job that he is, in my opinion, in that list of actors that everybody, he did such a good job that everybody kind of hates him in real life in moments. Like, yeah. He had moments where, you know, he was
like
becoming a...
The woman that played Dolores Umbridge.
Yeah. He was becoming her or what's his name from Game of Thrones?
Joffrey.
Joffrey. Oh.
Almost so Jordy.
Worse. I'm going to punch him in the face today.
Oh, yeah.
And
the
fact that he was a little kid making acting that well. Acting
after that.
Well, he's probably okay financially.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Maybe did... I wonder if... Did he quit because of... Or he just quit because he was done?
I don't know. I wonder if he just got too much
flag for
it. Yeah.
He did a good job. I hated him for sure. there was. I love both of the shows. I don't know if I could pick, but Falcon and Winter Soldier touched on some issues that have always been relevant on this podcast, just representation in comics, and then how interesting the story of what if Captain America is black is very compelling, very interesting. They touched on that pretty heavily, I think. You know, there were from the moment that they had Bucky and Sam arguing in the street after they went and talked to this is happening again because I'm being recorded right now. I'm forgetting the name that even both of you. The guy that was experimented on and also had the super soldier serum. His name is I'm going to Google it. I can't think of it. Why can't I think of it?
He played the Martian Manhunter's dad in the Supergirl TV show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I saw that and I was like, that's interesting.
We'll look it up in our break when we take 1 second to think of his name. But the point is they were out there and then the cops just showed up because they were arguing in the street and immediately like got on Sam's case. And it took Bucky being like, do you know who he is? You know, the white guy in the scene. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly when he was Sam, he was Falcon. Oh, I just didn't recognize you without the wings or the cape or whatever, the cowl. There are just moments like that that I know, not because I've ever experienced anything like that, but I know made a lot of people feel heard in a moment, even if it was just passing, you know, and it was a story thing. But that's so important. That was so impressive to me that they were not afraid to go there. I mean, maybe there's even an argument that they could go even further, but I understand that Disney has a bottom line as well. And also, you know, it's a Disney show, but it was good. It was really good. I'm so glad that right after the last episode, they announced this, Anthony Mackie is going to get his own, Captain America movie. Like Cap 4 is going to be Anthony Mackie. They didn't confirm that Steve Rogers is gone, and I have a theory that we're going to see him as old man Cap in maybe like the Secret Invasion film when that comes out. It was great. It was awesome.
I mean, I liked it. I was telling Alex, this came out at the same time that the Mighty Ducks Game Changers TV show was happening, and there were a couple weeks that I was more excited about the Mighty Ducks show than Falcon and Winter Soldier. But, you know, it's just because Mighty Ducks is just a carefree show. You know, it's just fun. And I knew that as soon as I started watching Falcon Winter Soldier, it was going to be gritty and it was going to, like, take me places.
Right.
And I just needed to warm up for it.
Yeah. Before we get too far away, it was Isaiah Bradley. I apologize for being a terrible Marvel fan. Isaiah Bradley was who they were visiting, which was so cool that they went there. If you watch that, it's possible that you didn't understand the significance in the moment. If you weren't like a diehard Marvel fan, you should do some research on that character. That would even be a cool run for us to cover maybe one day. Just Isaiah Bradley, I think it was like a short ish run. That was great. I mean, we were mostly talking about, and have already talked about, WandaVision, but it finished strong. Yeah. This is a fun tidbit that maybe some of our listeners don't know. They had to change the script or some scenes or do some reshoots in the upcoming Doctor Strange film because he was not included in the final episode like they had originally planned of WandaVision. So he was supposed to be in the final episode of WandaVision. Doctor Strange was.
Wow.
But because of some last minute changes, they wanted to just kind of like, no, this is a story about Wanda, like ultimately in her dealing with grief. We're not gonna, I don't know if it was like, we're not bringing in the white dude to save the day.
Yeah.
Or whatever reason they didn't for choices.
It's like, I mean, I could understand that. This is, I'm going to probably talk about Star Trek here in a minute. But the last episode of Enterprise, they pulled in a bunch of the Next Generation cast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a retrospective type thing.
Cool.
And it just kind of like robbed Enterprise cast of having their true send-off. Like, this was our baby. And instead, you made it like a spin-off series coming from Next Generation. So I'm wondering if there was a little bit of that. They were like, yeah, this is WandaVision. We don't want to come in at the last minute and be like, oh, just kidding. This was all just a prequel to,
right,
to Doctor Strange. No, they wanted to finish.
And that's for sure. I mean, they're confirmed, both of them, for the Doctor Strange film with, you know, a whole variety of characters from rumors from other films where they're going to just blow up the whole multiverse. I think we should talk about that, but first, we're going to take a quick break. We are back. And we're back, and we just wanted to touch up on, before Drew goes on his Star Trek soliloquy, there are some things that have been announced. I'm not even going to look them up. Tori, you can maybe get a list if there's some. I mean, a lot of them I know we for sure announced, but they're like, actually, I think I remember. So Marvel MCU specific things. There was an announcement for the actual title of the Black Panther film, which is going to be Black Panther Wakanda Forever. There is an announcement for the actual name for Captain Marvel 2, which is just going to be called The Marvels. And in the logo they showed, the S from Marvels was the same pattern that goes across Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan.
I was going to try to hold this up, but it's all the one that we covered in the
show. Gotcha.
Your book's right there.
Oh, yeah, it's in there. Dang, I should have had that foresight.
That's okay.
What else? They announced one other thing, I think, a title. Maybe I didn't think of them all.
Were you? Which one were you trying to remember?
I can't remember.
No.
I know Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, The Marvels. Is there another title that was announced that I'm not thinking of?
Eternals?
No. They just released a trailer for that, and it looks awesome. Man, I can't wait for that one. The more I think about it, I've been reading. We'll get to what you've been reading and eventually, and that'll be my soliloquy because I've been reading a lot. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Those are the two that are coming to mind.
I almost misread this as it's Black Widow, but I almost said Black Woody.
Oh, that was a completely different film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's it. Okay. The MCU, but you know, things are starting to open up. I think I'm going to go for sure to see Black Widow in theaters. I think it's in July. Loki comes out in like 2 weeks on Katie's birthday, actually. And it's on Wednesdays. Be ready for that.
Nice.
Yeah,
my wife's a lot more excited about Loki than I think
she
was for Falcon.
It's because she thinks he's cute.
Yep. She does.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all right. Well, Drew, what have you been watching?
Well,
because
I don't need to go on a whole lot about Star Trek, but I mean,
you should tell everybody what you did because it's impressive.
Well, when the pandemic began, I was just like, you know, I'm going to have time to watch some TV. So I'm going to watch Deep Space Nine because I'd never watched that all the way through. And ended up really, really enjoying it. Like, it has some of that same kind of, it went some places, like those episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, it, there's this episode where they kind of get dropped back in time when, you know, black people are still struggling just to be heard. And, like, multiple episodes of Deep Space Nine are like that I'm just like, God, I haven't felt things like that from any Star Trek. And after I watched Deep Space Nine, I was just like, you know, I've never watched Enterprise all the way through. So I went and watched that. And then by that point, I was just like, that's whenever I got Discovery, which is one of the new shows, and Picard, which is one of the new shows on DVD. And I watched those. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and make sure I've finished the original series movies. And that's the original series TV show. Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and bought a Blu-ray collection of all the other movies. And I watched, so I, starting with, because Enterprise is technically, you know, Discovery happened, or Enterprise was the first thing chronologically. And then I watched Discovery. And then I watched the next, or original series from the 60s. And then I was like, might as well watch The Next Generation again. And I was like, I'm not going to watch Deep Space Nine because I watched it less than a year ago. But then I jumped forward and watched Voyager, which is my favorite of the series because it's like the Star Trek that got me hooked on Star Trek. And I've probably seen that whole thing four or five times. Watched that. And then all of the movies throughout. And in July, I think I'll... So, like, with the exception of the animated shows, because there were two seasons of the original series that were animated back a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And then there's Lower Decks. And the only place I can watch those is on CBS All Access or whatever, and I don't have that. And I have the Blu-ray of Discovery coming in whenever it's released. So, like, with the exception of season three of Discovery and the animated things, I basically this past year and a half, I've watched the entirety of the Star Trek franchise, movies and all.
How many episodes is that?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Like, is it 1,000?
I don't know. I mean, so there were like seven seasons of Enterprise. Not Enterprise. 25. I don't even know.
It seems infinite. Is it a bigger watch than the Arrowverse?
I feel like it was less. And it was easier to do because I just hit play and I finished a show. Because, like, with the Arrowverse, I was like, all right, Flash, Supergirl, Batwoman, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but it just seems because like Star Trek, it's not even close. Star Trek's been going on for longer, it seems.
But there's also, the new shows are only like 10 episode seasons. And, you know, so there's that. But yeah,
still, I mean, that's a no small undertaking.
But it was, and I went through, and when I was all done with everything, I went and rewatched the new ones, the ones from 2009. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it, but they used the first season of Picard to basically make sense out of the problem that happened at the beginning of one of the Star Trek reboot movie, like the Romulan wormhole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there was always this gray area, like, where did that come from? And they answered the question of Picard, and I didn't realize that, but that was pretty cool. So
yeah. I always like it when they use like a newer, or a reboot or a sequel to fix some continuity stuff.
It's like, and it's good. Thank you. So it like folded those in.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know, but the new ones, the reboot movies, those are technically an alternate universe. Those aren't canon to, because Spock shows up and changes the timeline. Old Spock. Right. So yeah, like those diverge, multiverse type stuff.
Yeah.
Whenever I got done with all of these shows, I was like, all right, I'm going to take a TV break for a while. And instead I watched Dark like that same day, which is not comic book related, but we had a time travel episode. So if you listened to that time travel episode and you enjoyed it, I really think you should check out Dark.
Yeah.
It is German, but you can watch it with subtitles or English dubbing.
Or really German.
Yeah, it is really good. Like, I was telling Alex as we were setting up, I used to hold Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on a pedestal as the most accurate representation of what I think time travel would be like. And now I'm going to say season one of Dark, because they do it jokingly. I mean, they follow the same rules where it's just like there's one fixed point. And if you go back and do something, it means that it had already happened when you experienced it the first time. And Dark does that. Though, as I watched it, they kind of tweak it, I think, a little bit as they go into season two and three. But there's like, they have justification for it. So anyway, it's a good show. It is dark, like it says. But it kind of makes me think of if Back to the Future had, you know, whenever they're going, well, I don't want to spoil it because it's good.
Don't spoil it. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, so.
I'll just say it's good.
It's good.
It's good.
That's good.
So, yeah, I mean, I've just been watching a lot. I haven't read a lot of comics, but I've watched a lot of nerdy things on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I think Dark, if you enjoy thinking about time travel and like literally, like this is a thinker of a show. You have to sit there. And I like the number of times I stopped and like backed up 30 seconds to watch something again.
Yeah.
Were numerous.
That's cool.
It's a good show.
I need to add it to the list. I have been reading bukus of comic books. I thought about this probably right after. Oh, there goes the doorbell. I had the thought, I'm reading usually at least two, sometimes more, three or four comic books a night, but at least two, with the exception of like maybe one night out of every 2 weeks, I might not read any, like if I'm doing something else. But for most time, I get two, so like thinking about how many comics that is over the course of a year. It's a lot of comic books, and I got excited about, like, oh, I can say I at least read between 500 and 750 comic books probably over the year. So I felt good about that, and I've been like trucking away specifically at the new X-verse, basically all these X-Men books that come out of Powers of 10 mm-hmm. or House of 10 Powers of X. Did I get that backwards?
Yeah.
House of
reverse
House of X Powers of 10. That's what it is. They're so good. Like there's one or two that I think are done now, and I get why they kind of wrapped up. Like they didn't quite hit as hard, but the X-Men books, the New Mutants book is awesome. The X-Force, Marauders is really cool. Like X-Men and Pirates. Yes, please. There's so many of them now on Marvel Unlimited that I'm not even close to being caught up, even after I'm like on issue 8 or 9 for most of them. They're at like, some of them are hitting in the early 20s now. That are on Marvel Unlimited, and there's even more that are out. So I could not recommend more. If you're looking for a new, like more recent spot to jump into Marvel stuff that is affecting, you know, large parts of the universe because of what's happened in PHOX, the new X books are so awesome. And you can go to, I use Comic Book Herald, maybe there's other reading lists, but he does a great job of like lining them up. Here's when you should read them, you know, in relation to this. Kind of like what you were doing with the Arrowverse, but they're so good. They're so cool.
So good. I
love everything that he's doing with it. And it's cool because they're essentially letting Jonathan Hickman do what he does and like build out this universe. And because of that, he's kind of like the Kevin Feige of the X-Men universe right now. So all the ones he's writing, the main series X-Men series book, I think he's also writing New Mutants and maybe one other, but everybody else that's writing basically has to like, gets to tell their story, but you have to run it by Jonathan Hickman first to make sure that this is going to work with where we're all going to convene, where X marks the spot, pun intended.
Nice.
But it even says in all the books, like says the creative team, and then there's like another thing that says head of X, Jonathan Hickman, and every single one of them, like we're running everything through him. So it's super cool. It's really easy to jump on. I highly recommend it. It's been easily the bulk of what I've been reading. I'm also been reading, continuing on that Chip Zdarsky Daredevil run that I was running before. It's still solid. But I've been reading a lot of independent stuff recently, specifically from Image.
Like what?
One of my favorite things that I've read in a long time was called God Country. And it was by Donnie Cates. And it's just 6 issues and it's a one and done, like little mini story, but it's so cool. I'm gonna set like a premise for it. just so that maybe if you're listening, you might be interested in reading. So we're in flat middle of nowhere, Texas. This guy is living with his girlfriend and wife and their kid. I don't know. It's not really important. But his dad, who's much older, has pretty severe Alzheimer's. And he's like getting bad to where he's at the point of he's like going out in public, doesn't know who he is. He's like attacking people like because he's scared. The book starts off. These are like very light spoilers for the first little bits of the issue one. But like we open up in media res and the cops have just brought him back home. And they were like the sheriff's talking to the guy, not the father, but the guy that. He's not the main character. It's really about the father. But he's like, yeah, we had to pull a gun on him this time to get him. This is getting bad. You know, we're going to have to do something. Either you're going to have to put him in a home or you're going to have to pay way closer attention. And that's causing strife between his wife and his daughter. Anyway, very early on in that issue, this tornado comes through. And it's too late to warn anybody. It's like by the time the sirens are going off, it's doing damage. In that tornado, it wrecks their house, and this demon comes out of it. Suddenly we're in a comic book, right? This demon comes out and starts attacking the guy, and then right before the demon gets the guy, the father with Alzheimer's shows up and has this massive sword. It's huge. It's like 12 foot long that also came out of the tornado, and he slays this demon. And I won't say much more, but I will say that while he's holding this sword, his Alzheimer's goes away and he can remember everything, and it goes from there. It gets very interesting quickly of who owns that sword and what the sword can do and maybe say. It's pretty cool, really good. And because of that, I've been reading some other I read a Dark Horse series called Black Hammer. I'm still reading that. I'm actually on issue 7, I think. But there's all these like independent books that I'm trying to read because I read this event called Crossover by Donny Cates. That is what it sounds like. It's kind of a crossover of all these comics that kind of like this. What if this portal ripped open and all fictional characters came out of it and became real, you know, for better or for worse. So really cool independent stuff. I'm like trying to, I know that a lot of comic book creators pay their rent with the big two and work on their passion projects with the other, you know, smaller comic book publishers. So I've been trying to just, what kind of stories are they telling too? Super cool. I've been reading so much. I'm not even thinking of everything else for sure. The Hulk series that's about to wrap up with issue 50. Al Ewing has been doing that. Comics don't ever make it 50 issues anymore unless they're like incredible. But the fact that he's just stopping because he's done, you know, the Incredible Hulk is probably, if not the most popular Marvel title right now that everybody's a fan of. Probably right behind or right ahead of Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil series and a few others. Oh, I'm reading the Eternals series that's going on right now. Still reading the Iron Man series, Christopher Cantwell. The Eternals is Kieran. I always butcher his name. I'm sorry, Kieran. I know you're listening. Kieran Gillen. Don't know, can't pronounce anything, but he's doing the Eternals run right now. So many, I'm overwhelmed just trying to think of everything I've been reading, but it's been a lot over the last 10 weeks or since we ever recorded the last podcast. Have you been reading like anything, like not even just comic books, but I know occasionally you read just novels?
I've read several. I've probably finished a couple novels since then. But the fact that I can't remember them says a lot about their quality.
Yeah.
I was just reading. I've been trying to read get as much mileage out of Amazon Prime as I can by reading Prime reading books on my Kindle, which in some cases are good. Like the one I'm reading now. Wait, I might have bought it. I don't remember. Yeah. But I finally found one, and I don't know what it's called. I don't know who wrote it because I only started it a few nights ago. But it's good. So how's that for a good story? What'd you read? I don't know, but it's good.
But it's good. Did you find that author or comic book writer?
Kieran Gillen is.
Kieran Gillen?
Yeah.
Sounds right. It seems like to a requirement for writing comic books is to have hard to pronounce names. Or maybe I'm just an idiot. Seems
both can be true.
The latter is probably more likely. You been reading anything, Tori?
Not really. I'm trying to. I should have been thinking about this beforehand, but
that's fine. I've truly been reading enough for.
I've been watching too much. Yeah,
So you're in the same boat as me.
Yeah, watching a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that we've already covered here today.
That's fine. This was always going to be just a get back in the flow of things episode.
Remember how to set up these mics and cameras.
Yeah. How do we sound, by the way? We've even made a tweak between the breaks, I think.
Yep. I don't know. And also the room's different.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that.
Can you hear the guy mowing over there?
Yeah. I don't know. We're in my office, which has always been available to us, but I rearranged the furniture. Drew's corner is way more interesting than mine. The shot's not even showing it. There's way more stuff behind him, but nothing's going on over here yet. Oh, I found some cool prints that I'm going to try to get for this area. That'll help spice it up a little bit. This is also right where I do my 9-to-5. Yeah. exciting. Anything else before we wrap up this episode?
I was just going to say, did y'all see the Venom 2 trailer?
Ah, no, I didn't. I did see it.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic about it. I don't know. The first one was kind of meh to me because they made him a good guy, but he's kind of a good guy in the comics right now. So maybe they just had some foresight and knew that's where it was going and that's how they're doing it. I just hope that we don't get in the habit of the villains becoming good. You know, we already got Loki. You know, the main villain in Thor in Avengers, or one of the Avengers film, kind of anti-hero. You know, that's. I feel like if it gets too out of hand, we won't have any actual villains.
Right.
You know, people already sympathize with Thanos, those monsters. Yeah. But, yeah, what did you think of it? Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah, I had the same sort of thought. I'm not sure how I feel about him being made a, not just a good guy, but like a, kind of like a doofus dumb or a good guy.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, it feels, the trailer I thought probably didn't do it justice.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll definitely watch it.
I love Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, me too.
So that'll be cool with Carnage. We'll see. The Absolute Carnage was like a major event recently in the Marvel books, like where Venom basically, like the symbiote god Null, K-N-U-L, I think there's just one L, like that is responsible for Venom and all the other symbiotes, like came out of wherever the depths of hell he's from and started taking over. That was like the most recent major Marvel event, I'm pretty sure. It just wrapped up like 6 months ago max. So maybe they're trying to work towards that. I'm sure there's going to be some Tom Holland Spider-Man crossover something eventually.
Yeah.
I like Tom Hardy a lot. Venom's a cool villain. Are we ever going to actually get to see Tom Holland versus Tom Hardy, Spider-Man versus Venom?
You know,
just going to like make them Lethal Weapon but spider thing where they're buddies. It seems really cool. If they're going to do it, don't rush it. But what else? Anything else? I know we're missing something. There's just no way we're going to cover all of it. Too many things have happened. But we should be back on some sort of consistent recording schedule, hopefully. Yeah.
Nice.
We'll see if that actually happens. It will. It will. We're getting into that season where I think things are slowing down slightly for us. I don't have anything else if you don't.
Nope. Another good show. Check out The OA on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Cool ending.
So much. What have you guys been watching? Let us know. What have you been reading? Follow us on all our social media accounts. Drew, where are those?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Do I remember how to do this? You can find us on Twitter, where I've posted approximately once in the past 3 months, at Two Man Comic Book. With the number 2, we are on Instagram and Facebook at Two Man Comic Book Club with the number 2. You can find our website where we post everything with a little write-up, sometimes some blogs. That's twomancomicbookclub.blogspot.com. shoot us an email, twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com.
All of those with the number two.
Yes, the number two. Otherwise, it would look like T-Woman, mm-hmm. which there's nothing wrong with that.
Maybe we'll do something with it.
Yeah. What about you?
You can find me, as always, on all social media platforms at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne and Torrance Wayne. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that he's got it. Because I am Batman. Mm-hmm. What about you on your personal accounts?
You can find me on Twitter, where I talk about new music things and the dogs pooping in my front yard, at Drew Morris Comp. Facebook and all those other places, Drew Morris Composer.
And Tori?
If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Torrance Watkins. Torrance.Watkins, sorry.
That's right.
Yeah. You can see me arguing with people who think teachers are being lazy.
Ah, yes.
Is that happening again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get some popcorn for that. That's been it. Like and subscribe to this video. We're going to be more consistent here. We're going to change up some stuff. But the best way to help us is to spread our content. And apparently that YouTube algorithm's favoring likes pretty aggressively right now. But yeah, just share it. Give it a like. Subscribe. Hit that little bell. I'm trying to do more calls to action. We need to get people involved here.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Oh, yeah. If you leave a comment specifically on Apple Podcasts and a 5-star review, we will read that. We haven't checked that in a while. Let me do a speed check.
Speed check.
I am checking this. Where's our podcast? Two.
Nobody knows.
Man. Is it space? How do I find our podcast? Comment. There we are. Hey, that came up pretty quick. That gives me hope. There's our podcast. Don't start playing. 63. No.
Okay.
No. All that for nothing.
For that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fix it. All right. Help us fix that by leaving a comment. If you leave us a 5-star rating, you can type whatever you want and we'll read it, assuming it's not laced with obscenities.
And maybe even if it is.
Yeah. And then,
it's been since December 13th since we've had a review. So. Partially our fault for our hiatus.
Yeah.
We're sorry, but thanks for waiting around for us.
And welcome to season 3.
See you guys next time. Two-Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris.
Torrance, you want to soliloquize?
Please bring back my pig.
That was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I can't take credit for it. It was used on, I think, Veep. Somebody did that into the microphone, and I always thought that was funny.